And now, News Talk 1360 WCHL presents Art of Potential, an illuminating talk show about getting educated, getting hired, and getting inspired. Hosted by the staggeringly positive Kristen Heemstra, an experienced human resources manager and college admissions consultant. And now, here's Kristen on WCHL.
Hi, this is Kristen Heemstra, and you are listening to the Art of Potential show. We have a very fun show in store for you today because we are getting advice for our freshman year of college from a panel of experts. We have three freshmen here. Can you believe it? Okay, we're starting with Cindy Patterson. Cindy, please tell us a little bit, like, you can say your name and where you go to school and all that good stuff.
Hi, I'm Cindy Patterson, and I go to Guilford College in Greensboro, North Carolina, and it's a really good school to go to, and Guilford College is just really, my freshman year has really, like, helped me, like, cliche, but self-discovery and all that lovely stuff, so, yeah.
Oh, good. We'll have to find out more about that. All right, and Franny?
Hi, I'm Franny Chung. I go to UNC Chapel Hill. I actually grew up in Chapel Hill as well, but I am so happy at Chapel Hill, and I wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
Good. All right, and then we have someone who's nowhere near North Carolina, Christine.
Hi, I'm Christine Ream. I go to Bowdoin College in Brunswick, Maine, and yeah, it was an adjustment because I am a Southerner and not a Mainer at all, but I grew to love it, so here I am, back for the summer.
Excellent. Yes, I captured them when they came back to Chapel Hill so we could get some advice. So, all right, ladies. So my first question to you all is just tell me a little bit about your freshman year and what were some of the things that happened that completely surprised you?
For me, it was being away from the South. And I think anywhere I left North Carolina because I wanted to be away from school or from home because my two choices were Carolina and Maine. And then I got there, and I didn't expect it to be so, so, so different. And so I think it's good to remember that when you choose to go away from home, that you're going to be really in for a culture shock no matter where you go. Even if you go, like, the next state over to South Carolina, it's a culture shock.
Right.
So getting adjusted to different types of people, different, like, socioeconomic levels that were close to you, and different, like, demographics that were around you was really difficult.
So what, can you give us like a specific example of something different culturally?
Well, I don't know if this classifies under culture, but just I walked in on my homemates in the beginning of the year talking about or complaining about how like they're paying full tuition is really unfair because people are here on financial aid and like their money is just going to help them. And like if people on financial aid just paid a little bit more, then they wouldn't have to pay so much. And it was like really shocking for me to hear that as somebody on financial aid. And so like I at first was a little alienated because I thought that, like, all of these people around me going to, like, a private liberal arts school on financial aid, I thought that I was just, like, really alone and really coming from a different background than other people. But you just learn that, like, even if they come from different backgrounds, it doesn't make them a bad person or anything. It's just, like, they are not used to, you're not used to things that they're used to and stuff.
Yeah, that's a very good way of saying it. You're not used to things they're used to. I mean, just for the record, most people who attend small private liberal arts schools often get financial aid packages.
Right.
I'm not saying go out and apply to one and expect a package. I'm just saying it's not that unusual. So I know when I went to college, I graduated from Chapel Hill High School, which was the only high school at the time, and I went to a small liberal arts school called Hope College. And my cultural difference was people referred to soda as pop. And it took me a while just to, you know, they have just different words to describe things, different sayings and things like that, and different ideas about people just in general. So it does, I know what you're saying about it takes a while because
right.
You're all different trying to fit in. And Bowdoin, I would guess, picks a lot of people up from all over the nation.
Yeah, but it's very mostly like New England. And it's like small things. Like nobody said, have a nice day when you like left the store or when you finished a transaction. And you don't because you're so isolated from everything else from your hometown, little things like that start bothering you. Like, people don't open the doors for you, and you're like, wow, I wish I was back in the South.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy to be overwhelmed with all the differences and, like, harp on little negative differences. And I would advise you to try to be more open-minded and not do that.
Yep, that's great advice. All right, now, Franny, you didn't go far.
I did not. I was kind of nervous, actually, being in the same town. I thought that maybe everything would just kind of feel the same, and I would see my family a lot more than maybe I would want to my first year in college. But my mom did a great job. She was very, like, distant with me in a way. That is what I actually really needed. She told me that, like, if we wanted to go get dinner or if I needed something, I can always call her.
Okay.
But she never really reached out to, you know, try to come into my new space that often. And she kind of stayed away from campus and little things like that, which was really nice. And also, the whole college world is so different. Like, I used to go to Franklin Street, go to dinner all the time. And just being with different people and having just different things on your mind every day about, you know, college classes and all your extracurriculars in college, it's such a different feel, even though I'm eating at the same restaurant. So don't be afraid to go to, you know, a school that's close to home and be afraid that it's going to be exactly the same, because it's not at all.
It's not, and I actually transferred to Carolina, and you meet so many different people that you're not even with the same group anymore. So their experience then definitely transfers into yours.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's a fun, fun thing. And Cindy, as she laughs, what were some of the differences you encountered?
Well, Guilford College is, like, very – it's kind of like East Chapel Hill High School, where it's, like – most people are very, like, politically, like, very liberal. And then, like, you have people that are, like, I don't know, like, being stereotypically normal was the minority at Guilford College. Like, you walk out your dorm, and, like, one of the, like, most shocking things to me is it was, like, 8:30 in the morning, and this girl, like, she didn't shave her legs. And I noticed things like that. Like, I'm just like, oh, my God, she doesn't shave her legs. And before I even, like, started to, like, make a kind of, like, a judgment on that, I kind of, like, had to look back, and my dad was like, you remember, like, people aren't raising your house. Like, no one is raising your house like you are. So, like, the things that are normal for you aren't normal for everyone else. So, like, Greensboro is not that far from home either, and I saw my parents, like, you know, relatively a lot, and I went to church on Sundays most weekends. But, like, it's really different. Like, Franny's right, it's really different. And you meet different people, and it's, like, you kind of have to, like, you're faced with, like, why you feel so strongly about certain things, and then you have to, like, answer, why do I feel this way? So I think that's a good thing about going to, like, a liberal arts school and, you know, sometimes being semi-close to home.
So. Now, that's a really good point, because you're right. Then, like, beliefs you've kind of carried around that you've never really questioned before because you've never had a reason to, suddenly you have to put a definition around, why am I reacting to this person that doesn't shave their legs? There's really no moral issue at stake here, so why am I reacting so strongly to it? There is a self-reflection, like, is this about me or them, really? All right, so I really want to talk about roommates. How many – I want to know which ones of you shared rooms before you left.
Oh, you got it.
None of – I didn't.
Yep.
I didn't either.
Okay.
The audience can't see you shaking your head going, no. All right, so how many of you knew your roommate or emailed or texted or did something before the year started?
I did.
Like, what did you do?
Oh, well, like,
this is Cindy.
Hi, I'm Cindy. Our RA had, like, messaged us on Facebook, and we had this group, and then we got our roommates, and so then we, like, had to message, and I gave my number, and, like, we texted and said, like, oh, how do you feel about this, and how do you feel, like, feel about that. Like, as the year progressed, that conversation really was forgotten, but, you know, it was good to, like, get that out of the way.
I guess. We'll go revisit that in a moment. Actually, we do need to take a break. So when we come back, we're going to hear more about how to live with people when you haven't had to do that, you know, before, share space and everything. We're getting head shakes here. All right. This is Kristen Heemstra, and you are listening to The Art of Potential Show.
You're listening to Art of Potential on WCHL. Once again, here's your host, Kristen Heemstra.
Welcome back. This is Kristen Heemstra, and you are listening to the Art of Potential show, and we are getting advice for freshman year. We have three experts on our panel. We have Cindy Patterson, Franny Chung, and Christine Rehm. And Franny is about to tell us what it's like to have a roommate after not having to share.
Yeah, Well, my experience was very, I think, lucky. I did not know my roommate before. She found me on Facebook. There was this huge group. You had to fill out a survey about your, you know, sleeping habits when you go to bed, all that kind of stuff. And she messaged me and was like, hey, let's be roommates. And so we met 1 week before school started. We did some, like, roommate grocery shopping and bought pillows for our futon and things like that. And
decorating, very important part of, you know, freshman living.
Very important. Yeah. We had pink curtains. Very good homey touch.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. What I was thinking.
But, I mean, my experience was great. We got along really well. We have a lot of things in common. We're totally opposite fields of study, though, which is actually really great. Like, I love to help her study for her humanities courses, and she would help me study for my more science courses and stuff. And I mean, I don't know, I'm just really lucky, I think.
Well, it sounds like you're lucky, but Cindy, did you have to do any of that what are your sleeping habits? You did do some pre-work to try to match up?
Yeah, we had this big survey that was like 100 questions, and we filled it out, and they were supposed to match us up to that, but
you sound like you have your doubts.
Yeah, like, I think we're more matched up on, like, Guilford has this freshman year experience class that we have to take, and I think we were more matched up on, like, who wanted to take that class, and it was kind of like, okay,
They have you all living together in the freshman? That's called a learning living community. Yeah. They actually can work out really well if you like the people that you're with.
Yeah, I think, like, the learning living community aspect really did work out. It was, like, a bond that we had.
Mm-hmm.
And despite, like, whether you like them or not, it's kind of like, oh, this is kind of my family. So right. I know you're weird, but, like, you know, I have you because, like, we have to live together. So it was – I mean, I think that's really good. That was – one of the, like, most successful things, I think, about my freshman year was that.
And actually, that's true across the board, because I used to work in housing. And learning living communities do build a family-type connection, because you do spend a few hours a week together, and you see each other every day. And so that does become, like, your surrogate family when yours is not around. So that does. So, Christine, what about you?
I was also really lucky. Well, for Bowdoin, we don't get to choose our roommates at all. They just assign them for us.
Did you do any type of, like...
Oh, yeah. We did, like, a survey. Okay. I'm not sure how much that goes into stock, because I know people who hated their roommates, but I absolutely loved mine. And it was funny because when we got the letters with the names, we, like, friended them on Facebook, and then we had all summer to creep through all of their summer activities. And I was so doubtful about my roommates, and I had so many trepidations from their Facebooks. And then, yeah, I came
in. Okay, so wait, no, you got to tell us more. Like, what did you see that made you go, oh, no?
Well, like, I was just, like, I feel like I was so much more closed-minded last year. So, like, my roommate, I have three roommates. There's four of us in a quad. It's two bedrooms and a common room. Plug for Bowdoin. We have great dorms.
Nice. You need them because you spend a lot of time with them in the winter. But anyway, keep going.
Right. So my bedroommate was this girl who had, like, really, really long hair, like, did a lot of theater stuff and, like, looked really unique and, like all of her likes were like strange things that I was never exposed to before. And I was like, oh, no, I'm going to have nothing in common with this girl. and we don't have anything in common, but we get along so well. And so it's just, like, you just have to be open-minded. And with all of my other roommates, one was from New York City, and, like, she looked kind of, like, mean in her pictures. She's, like, the nicest person I've met. And the other one is great, too. So I think I was lucky enough to have people who I clicked with. And we were also, like, all very chill when we were like, how do you feel about this, 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 this? Everyone was like, I don't care. And so since we were all, like, chill about what other people could do in our room and, like, more relaxed, I think there were less tensions. And we all ended up getting along, like, amazingly.
Which is great because, to your point, Christine, the freshman year when you're trying to share space, and I'll just throw out an example. If somebody has a boyfriend and wants to bring the boyfriend back to the room, well, they don't want you in the room when they're in there with their boyfriend. I mean, like, you know, you've got all these spaces now you need to navigate that you never had to really worry about before. And then I was talking to somebody who just came back, and he said that his roommate watched television constantly, and he doesn't watch TV. So, like, now you've got a noise factor that you're not used to having and stuff like that. So, Cindy, tell us a little bit about your experience.
My experience was interesting because I'm kind of chill. Like, I didn't have any, like, I didn't go in with, like, you have to do this, that, and the other, because mm-hmm. I'm kind of used to being by myself, and, like, I'm, you know, it doesn't really bother me, and I'll leave more than, like, have a confrontation. Like, I'd rather just leave and go somewhere else. But one biggest issue for me was my roommate never used headphones, and we had completely different taste in music. And there was a point in the school year where I would, like, sit outside my room and eat my food. And my RA, like, live across the door, and he's like, what's wrong? And I was like, I just can't take it. And so, like, I know myself, so I was like, let me remove myself from the mm-hmm. situation. But I think, like, the best advice, like, is just use headphones. Like, that's all you need to do. Like, or, like, they'll, like, Skype at, like, 3 a.m, and so I'm asleep, and it's like, yeah. Oh, you're connecting with long-lost friends that live in Durham. So, I mean, like, come on. But, yeah, so it was interesting. But I think, like, consideration was the biggest thing for me. Like, I'm chill, but I'd rather be considerate about you instead of, like, worrying about, like, oh, I'm comfortable doing this because, you know, like, I'm a dork. When it's my space, like, I listen to my music and I hop around, but I know I can't do that when I'm, like, with someone else. So, yeah, it was interesting, I think, yeah.
Did you find, I'm taking from what you're saying, I'm taking it you all will not be rooming together next year?
No.
You have a definite no there.
No.
Okay, so now that you're looking at another roommate, what kind of things are you, did you find someone else to room with?
I mean, like, I was kind of like that person the first few weeks of school that just, like, stopped people and were like, hi. And, like, because, you know, I just wanted to, like, meet new friends. And I was mm-hmm. like, oh, I'm going to be different than I was in high school. And I just met one of my friends, and she lived next
I'm
door.
Sorry. I just have to stop you. How is that going to be different than you were in high school?
I mean, like, I
thought you knew a few people.
I mean, yeah, I knew people. But it was kind of like, oh, well, you know, like, we like the same thing. And we're in the same classes. So then we've, like, got friends. But I have more friends that from college that I've never had a class with. And it was just kind of like, hey, what's up? Mm-hmm. And then it was like, oh. Or you see something funny in the cafeteria and you laugh. And then, oh, you're laughing too, friends. So, mm-hmm. yeah. But, so I have, like, my friend that we kind of have, like, similar likes and dislikes. And I'm more extroverted than she is, but she's more, like, just chill. And so we'll, like, Netflix for, like, hours. And, you know, that's just what we do. So mm-hmm. it's just kind of like, it'll be, if I'm roommates with her, then it would be a best situation.
So if you want to be roommates, you just have to contact the school and let them know?
Yeah.
Okay. So one quick question. How many cafeterias are there on Guilford's campus?
There's one main cafeteria, and then there's downstairs where there's a pizzeria, the Quakeria, and there's a grill. And my best advice is to learn how to cook. And
Unless Ouch. You go to Bowdoin, which is number 2 best food in the country.
Well, why don't you tell us about your eating experiences there, Christine?
I would say that since we had such good food and we had, it's not like a point system or anything. You got breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And if you didn't go to lunch, oh, well, you didn't have to go. But it's not like they rolled over or anything. And it was, like, all you can eat, like, people serve you kind of place. So it was easy to eat as much as you wanted, which is not necessarily a good thing.
Yeah, I get that.
But,
hello, freshman 15, 20, 25. Yep.
For sure. But for me, I had a great experience with the food. It was, like, just me specifically, I went from eating Korean food every day to, like, American food every day. But it wasn't a problem because the food was delicious. So... I feel like I was really lucky in finding a school that had good food, though.
It does make a difference. Yeah. And is there one main place to eat?
We have two dining halls, and then we get $100 like free dollars to spend at a small convenience store and like a grill, like a diner food type stuff.
Hmm. And what about you, Franny?
We have two main dining halls, and our food was not as good as Bowdoin's, but I do have to say that we have a lot of great variety, which mm-hmm. I really liked, just because we are a big school. And, like, I thought that was even better, just because if you're not in the mood for, like, whatever they're serving, you can find so many other alternatives. And also, meal plans. Like, I was kind of stressed at the beginning of my year to figure out, like, what size meal plan I needed. And I realized that at the beginning of the year, and, like, especially freshman year, I feel like eating is a very social thing. It's kind mm-hmm. of like, are you hungry? No, I'm not. But I'm going to come eat with you guys because I want to get to know you better and hang out and stuff. So definitely get a slightly bigger meal plan than you would normally think.
A friend of ours had, I think, like, 15 meal plans or meals for, like, a month, the last month.
Oh, wow.
She ate, like, once a day.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take another break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about, you know, academics, that whole reason that you all are there. You are listening to the Art of Potential show on 1360 WCHL.
You're listening to Art of Potential on WCHL. Once again, here's your host, Kristen Heemstra.
Welcome back. This is Kristen Heemstra. You are listening to the Art of Potential show, and we are getting advice for freshman year of college from Cindy Patterson, Franny Chung, and Christine Rehm. And so my question, ladies, talk to me about classes. What did you take? What was your reaction? Did you feel prepared? I want to know it all.
Well, first of all, like...
This is Cindy.
Hi. It's me.
Gilbert.
Yeah. And I have to say that, like, even though high school was kind of, like, really a drag by, like, senior year, Chapel Hill Carborough school systems really do prepare you for college, like, academically. I know that Guilford is, like, a writing-intensive school, but, like, you get a lot of papers, but most of the papers are, like, four-page paper on this, four-page paper on that. And when you've had, like, Miss Lancaster freshman year, like, that was a breeze. And so everybody was, like, stressing out, and I was just like, oh, okay, so I'll just go to the gym now. Or... So, like, I was really blessed in high school to have really good English teachers. And so in college, when my teacher was, first of all, I didn't have to take English my freshman year. I, like, tested out of it. But then my teachers were trying to be all scary. Oh, you have this paper. I'm just like, whatever. I'm good. So I think that was really a good thing. My freshman year was really good academically. So
that's great. You took English, and what else did you take?
Well, I didn't have to take English. So I just took, like, art classes. Mm-hmm. And, like, I'm a African-American studies and photography major mm-hmm. and a film minor. So... My art classes had papers. Like, mm-hmm. it's kind of like the joke where, like, the tap class, like, it's tap dance and it's, like, one credit, but you have a 10-page paper that you have to do at the end. So, I mean, like, in most of our classes are like that, but I've loved my class choice. Like, school year has been, like, academically pretty amazing, so.
Great. All right, Franny.
Let's see, my academic year was...
And Franny's at UNC.
Oh, yes. I go to UNC Chapel Hill. And my year was a little bit more like a roller coaster, unlike Cindy's here. Let's see, first off, in the fall semester, I thought that, you know, I could just handle it all. Let me just pile on my plate of all these fun things to do because I'm in college and everything seems awesome. So I took 16 hours. I decided to get a job. I played club lacrosse. And that just did not all work out the very first semester. So I would just say don't spread yourself too far the first semester. And if you need to drop a class, you should. a lot of
people
like
do it. Sounds like this happened from experience, Franny.
Yes, I am speaking from experience. I took a class and I missed the first midterm because I was sick. And afterwards, it just went downhill. Like, I just could not catch up. I thought I had it in the bag. Like, I was like, I can come back from this. But so I tried to push myself all the way through the semester, and that did not work out too well. So I would just recommend if you feel like you're not that confident, it's okay to drop a class. It's better than being short, like 3 credit hours, than being short, you know, on your GPA.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I dropped the class my first within, like, a month or so, and it was awesome because then I had only 3 classes, and there were classes that I didn't drop, so you knew that I liked, and I knew that I liked them. So my first semester, I would say, was really easy. Also, because I was lucky enough with the classes that I chose, that they were.
What did you take?
In my first semester, we had a freshman seminar, which is like a small class, East Asian politics. And then I had a big lecture class, Environmental Studies 101, and Spanish 205, which was just the next level of Spanish that I placed into. So I was lucky enough to have, like, pretty, like, doable, manageable classes, and I wasn't stretching myself. And I think that's very important in your first semester, because I know that coming from East, you're all stressed to be like, oh my gosh, now I'm in college and now I have to keep going, because now I'm going to apply to jobs and internships and grad school. Oh my gosh. And, like, freshman year, I feel like, is the only chance that you have that you've had in a long time to just relax and just take what you want to take and not be stressed about planning for the future and just being like, you got here, reward yourself. Take what, like, you chose this college. So take, like, enjoy yourself academically. And I think I did that. Even my second semester, I had a full course load, so it was much harder. But it was classes that I wanted to take for the most part. And then I think another important part is knowing when you're not going to be able to handle it and not trying to, or I'm not trying to be like quit, but like I like chose to take a math class, and then a month in I realized that it was not going to work out for me. I couldn't drop it, but I just took it pass fail, and that made the rest of my classes, I could focus on what I actually like wanted to take and what would actually interest me. And so knowing yourself and knowing what your limits are and not fooling yourself. Not to say that you shouldn't be pushing yourself, but at the same time, being sensible about your limits is important.
I agree. I think that was very important. And I like how you said you took a pass fail. I do remember like being in college and thinking, this just isn't going anywhere I want my GPA to go.
Yeah.
So my options are pass fail. There you go. And Franny, what did you take?
I took chemistry 101, and I did not take AP Chem in high school. I only took the, like, general sophomore year chemistry, and it just...
And that was the class you dropped. You were, like, so not there.
I should have dropped it.
Oh, you didn't?
I did not drop it.
Okay.
And that's why I'm saying that. If you want to, feel totally comfortable dropping it.
So your advice is to... Do what I say, not as I do.
Exactly.
What else did you take this year?
I took a lot of art history classes and some language classes, French and Italian.
Okay, so you all kind of took general classes. Cindy, it sounds like you have an idea of already what your major is going to be, and you've got film, you've got African American studies, you've kind of thought about a career path then, is that?
Yeah. And, like, one of the benefits about going to a liberal arts college is, like, they have things for that fulfill general requirements that are, like my science requirement next year is going to be fulfilled by botany. So I'm going to learn about flowers instead of doing, like, you know, some, like, chemistry or something like that, because that really, I learned from high school, that was not my thing. So, or, like, my math class, I took math for liberal arts, which...
They call
math for liberal arts students.
And there wasn't
Do you color? I mean, like,
there wasn't a book. It was all about patterns, and it was so aggravating because, like, you know, like from going to East, like the math classes, like you it has, like, you have this, like, certain thing of, like, what a math class is supposed to be like. This was completely different, and one of the questions was, like, if a fly goes up the wall and, like, an ant goes across the thing, like, how long would it take or something like that. But it was, like, that seemed like a general question, but then it was, like, something strange. She put some twist in it, and I was just like, oh, my God, I can't even. But, like, I learned to be, like, academically strong. They're right. You have to, like, know when you need help and don't be afraid to talk to your professors.
Yes.
And, like, I was that person that, like, our professors, we had this whole, like, emailing system, and it was, like, 12, and I was emailing, so I don't understand this, because we have, that was one class that all the tests were, like, take-home tests, so that was a benefit, but, like, I was like, okay, I don't understand this at all, and, like, the teachers, for the most part, they're not trying to stick it to you, like, they want you to do well, so, like, be okay with, like, going and talking to your professor, and even when you don't have a problem, like, just if you see them around class, like, don't duck and cover, like, be like, hey, and ask them how's their day or something, you know, or like if they're in the CAF, don't be afraid to sit with them, because with college and like networking, I learned, is like the biggest thing. And so, like, you don't want to be that student that they're like, did I have you in my class? Like, you want to be, oh, that's so and so, because when you need like recommendations, like, your teachers will remember and be like, oh, you made an effort to get to know me. So yeah,
that is excellent advice, Cindy Patterson. Thank you, everyone, for sharing your advice. This is Kristen Heemster with the Art of Potential Show.
You're listening to Art of Potential on WCHL. Once again, here's your host, Kristen Heemster.
Welcome back. This is Kristen Heemster, and you are listening to the Art of Potential Show. We're getting some expert advice for freshman year. And my question to you ladies is, how do you take care of yourself when you're a freshman? Because you're kind of in that, like, you just left home. Mom was just cooking for you, maybe, unless you lived in my house. Or, you know, you had a different support system, and now you're kind of supporting yourself. So what is that like, and how do you manage it?
For one thing, I know that at the beginning of fall semester, right before my chem midterm, I got really sick. I had like 103 or 104 degree fever. I couldn't move really. I didn't want to. And my roommate was really helpful. She was so sweet. She like got me ibuprofen, and she like set up an appointment for me to go meet with campus health. And it's just like you need to seek support like from yourself, and also just like trust the people that you're with. And just, I mean, it's just, like, really nice to have people there. So don't feel like you're all alone. And, like, don't be afraid to ask for help if you need it. Because I really just did not want to function at that point. And, like, she was really great.
That's
so
great.
Yeah.
Okay. Cindy, how did you take care of yourself?
I got real up close and personal with the gym. Because it's really, I don't know if anyone watch Legally Blonde, but there's this line, it's my favorite one, and it's like, exercise give you endorphins and endorphins make you happy. And like, it's true though, like, just like getting on the bike or something, other than like you want to look your best, and like, but you're not really caring about that much in college, like, let's be real. But but like, it's like really good to like feel healthy and like get out of whatever's going on, because like, now that you're away from home, you don't have, like, two different things to worry about. Like, in high school, like, it's, like, high school life and then home life. Mm-hmm. Now it's just, like, college. And so, like, to, like, not – I have a tendency to, like, just get, like, stuck in, like, oh, this is happening right now. So, like, losing yourself in the gym is, like, a really good way to, like, get that out of it. And you can meet people because you all have, like, a common entrance, I guess, because you're, like, there. Mm-hmm. So,
and I'll just tell you, I had – a knee operation right before I went to college, so I got to know a lot of the people that hung out in the gym really quickly. And you end up seeing them over and over again.
Yeah.
Doing your sets. What about you, Christine?
For me, I would have to say find a space and a time to be by yourself, because it can be really, really overwhelming. I'm a type of person that always likes to have people around and always likes to be hanging out. But I think it's true that everyone really needs some alone time at some point. And college is, especially going to a small college, you are surrounded by people all the time. Mm-hmm. And so for your mental health, I think it's good to, like, find a pretty spot on campus, like, under a tree next to a stream or, like, in a nice building with nice windows or couches and just, like, hang out by yourself for a little bit, like, read a book or, like listen to music or take a nap or something where you're just doing your own thing by yourself and not surrounded by anybody else. I think it's really important.
And you bring up a really good point, too. Like, for the extroverted personality, we all have our introverted and extroverted sides, which we do need to honor. And on a smaller campus, my experience, anyway, was that it was easier to meet more people because you saw them all the time.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you've got a cafeteria, everybody goes there. I found at Carolina it was harder to meet as many people without, you know, joining an organization. Because you don't necessarily see all the people all the same time unless they're in your classes. But on a smaller campus, it's like, you know, you're going to get to know them pretty fast and you're going to live with about half of them before the time is over. So, Franny, I know you were involved in club sports. That was one of your outlets. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'd love to. So I play on the UNC Women's Club Lacrosse team, and there had been a couple of girls that are upperclassmen, and they used to come to East to help coach our JV team. So I kind of already knew about it. I had talked to them, like, kind of just, like, the general gist of, like, what to expect coming into Carolina. And we had tryouts, and we have practice twice a week, and we'll have tournaments about every other weekend. And I used to play varsity sports at East, and so I definitely miss that whole team feeling and having a commitment and just, like, having that need to work out, like, at a certain time.
There's
I love that. I miss that so much in college, like, the first couple of weeks before any sports thing started. So it's really great, and you don't have to commit so much time to it like you do a varsity sport.
Right.
But you still have that team feeling, you still have obligations, and you still get to do and, like, just play whatever it is that you love.
That's a great outlet for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. It's all fun. It's all fun and games at that point, really.
It is. So
I'm curious, how would you say you've grown up? And I'd like to hear from each of you. Not that you weren't grown up when you graduated from high school, but what, in hindsight, do you look back on and say, I've really transitioned from what I thought? Do you find, you know, like, open to new experiences, that kind of thing? How have your experiences changed you?
Well, hi, it's Sydney. And my experience, I know that, like, I'm a very, like, extroverted, and I'm relatively opinionated about a lot of things, but going to college and, like, especially going to Guilford, like, your opinions are put in your face and they're, like, presented to you in a way where it's kind of like, why do I feel this way? And then it made me kind of, like, be more introspective and have to weigh things out on what the importance is. And is this really a me thing, or is this, like, a us thing? And, like, me feeling this way, does that really affect me, just me, or everyone else? And I also have to say that you're more grateful. Like, when you not seeing your parents, then when you see them, it's like, oh, Mom, Dad, like, I love you guys so much. And, like, the, like, little things, like, I know that, like, I had to, like, see how, like, my parents have always really kind of, like, looked at how I felt about things, even though it sometimes didn't feel that way, but, like, they really did, and they kind of, like, melded, like, the way that they told me to, like, fit, like, how I felt about things. And a lot of times I know that in high school I didn't do that, and I was just kind of like, I want to do this, and I feel this way, and this is, like, this is important, and my life depends on this. And now it's just kind of like, okay, like, if you do it or not, like, let me see how you feel about this. So, like, I feel like for me, like, I've grown to be a more considerate person and realize that, like, everything is not, like, stage 10
right,
of importance. Like, sometimes it's okay to just not do this because it's not, it's okay. Like, just let it go. And then sometimes you have to, like, make a stand. And, like, if it's something you really want to do, you have to do it and accept the consequences that come with that. Because I know I got my nose pierced in college, and neither of my parents are really happy. Oh, and I got a tattoo too, and neither of them are really happy.
But, any other confessions you want to make?
No. But it was something I wanted to do. And, like, I hated seeing that, like, face of, like, not you again, but, like,
at the end, like, they still love me. They still like me, tattoo, piercing, and all. So, you know, like, it's kind of like sometimes you have to do stuff because you feel like you need to. But then other things, like, it's okay not to do it because how they feel. So.
Excellent. What about you, Franny?
I just want to add to that, too. Like, I've learned that, like, your parents are really awesome. And, like, yes, they do seem like they're a little bit, like, out of the times. Like, I know that my parents, like, when they used to try to give me advice about high school, I'm like, no, you guys, like, it's not the same. Like, I don't need to listen to you. Like, let me talk to my friends about this. But, like, going into college and not really, like, desiring to ask them of their opinions about things. And then, like, after, you know, whatever event happened, like, has passed, and I talked to them about it, they're like, oh, you obviously should have done this. And I was like, yeah, I know. I realize that now. You know, like, they really do have good advice. And, like, you can, like, always ask them for their opinion. And you don't always have to follow it. But, like, it's actually really helpful to just get other people's opinions on things. But also, I've learned that, like, you need to do what it is that you want to do, and don't let yourself be too influenced by everybody else's opinions. Like, even though it is good to hear things and maybe, like, that will open your perspective to another option, like, you need to go with what you want and just be confident and just commit to that.
Okay. That sounds very good. And, Christine, I'm going to give you, like, 10 seconds. You got just a few seconds to share with us. What advice? Let me put it that way.
Well, things just flew out of my head. I think I would have to say just be your own person. And, like, being at a small school, everyone knows each other by the end of the first month. And so you might be intimidated by the fact that, like, if you made a mistake, then the entire campus is going to know about it. Mm-hmm. At the same time, that taught me to be much more confident, to be like, well, this is who I am. And if you're going to talk about me or if you're going to, like, judge me, then I don't care because the people I love will love me. And that's all that matters. And so it definitely teaches you to be more, not that you should be, like, closed-minded, but to not be affected by what people think of you all the time.
That's beautiful advice. Absolutely. And that will stay with you, hopefully, for the rest of your life, because I wish more people would do that. You have just listened to the Art of Potential show with Kristen Heemstra.